Dear Christians, one and all, rejoice. The first hymn in the First Lutheran Hymn Book. The First Lutheran Hymn Book, as you see, had 8 hymns. They're listed there. We sing 4 or 5 of them still today. Later the same year, in 1524, another little hymn book was produced. This is a later copy of it, and it had about 25 or 26 hymns, and we still sing many of them as well. This was the repertoire of the Lutheran Church in the very early years. But very quickly, many more hymns were added. Before the time of the Reformation, the congregation didn't do a lot of singing. They did some singing, but a lot was given to the choir. And these hymns helped to teach the people the truths that we are saved by grace through faith for the sake of Christ. And it was this that was the reason for adding the hymns. They're like little sermons sometimes, or they are prayers, or they are creeds. We use them to pray to God, to praise Him, and we use them to encourage each other with scriptural truth. This first hymn, as we sang it, you'll notice was written in a form of poetry that has the first line repeated, so A, and B, and that is called bar form. And that doesn't mean that Luther wrote songs for pubs or took pub songs to be used in church, but that's a very common idea that's around us. The bar form was this form of musicians who did competitions at the castles like the Wartburg and such. And so it was a musical form that was known, and the Lutheran Reformation made use of it. And for the next 250 years, there was just an explosion of hymn writing among the Lutherans. We also use hymns to confess our faith and to understand the teachings of the faith and to reinforce. How do we know what we should believe? Certainly we know from Scripture, but then we sing that in church. And then when we're talking to other people, well, we sing in church these words. And one of the hymns that is used in that way is the next one, 430, by Adam's Fall. It's actually quoted in our Lutheran confessions. And don't judge a hymn by its title, By Adam's Fall Are All Forlorn. It's a very sad title, but if you go on and read the whole hymn, it's very powerful in preaching the gospel. Let's sing hymn 430, verses 1 and 4. The next hymn is a setting of the Kyrie, and because the congregation was now singing much more than just having the choir sing, there were also hymns that were used for the parts of the liturgy. This was especially helpful to rural congregations where there wasn't a choir or wasn't a very big choir. And so the Lutheran Reformers set the parts of the liturgy, the Kyrie, the Gloria, the Credo, the Sanctus, the Agnus Dei, to hymns that could be sung very easily by the congregation. In fact, in many parts of Germany and Scandinavia, they probably knew the hymn, We All Believe in One True God, better than they knew the Nicene Creed to say it. They would sing it every Sunday. And This first hymn, the Kyrie, comes from an old chant. And the chants were to be meditated on by the monks and the nuns in the monasteries. And they would have long melodious lines, and they would go on for many syllables. And you can see what is printed there, and I'll sing a little bit. Kyrie. Repeat that three times and then go on to the rest of the chant. And eventually people started to add words for all the little syllables in between. And so when the Reformation came about, they would do the same thing. And the next hymn, the hymn that we're going to sing, hymn 34, is a setting of the Kyrie in a very metrical form. It's not flowing like the chant, but you can sing it all together at the same time because it's in a rhythm that fits. So let's sing hymn 34. And of course, probably the most famous hymn from the time of the Reformation by Martin Luther himself is A Mighty Fortress. When Luther was a monk, he sang the Psalms every week, 150 Psalms divided over 7 days. He could probably recite the whole Psalter, 150 Psalms in Latin, and sing them for us if he stood here before us today. A Mighty Fortress is often called the battle hymn of the Reformation. It can be sung very powerfully with all kinds of trumpets and timpani and all. And it works very well that way. But Luther used it also as a way of comforting himself. Psalm 46, on which it is based, and many hymns were based on Psalms, it is a quiet hymn of comfort. And so we'll sing hymn 250, verses 2 and 3, and try and sing as gently as possible. Get a different feel for how this hymn can comfort us. You notice that that hymn is also written in bar form, and the second part of the first line is repeated as the last line. It's a very interesting musical technique, very comforting hymn. Another thing that happened with the time of the Reformation was putting the melody up in the top. We think of that just as so normal, but before this time, the choir usually had the melody in the tenor line, and people would sing above and people would sing below, and the tenors would just go with this long melody in between. But one of the Lutheran reformers, Lucas Osiander, put the melody on top so that people could really hear it when it was played on the harpsichord or the organ or whatever instrument was used at that time. And so it really helped us to understand and hear the melody. And Luther wrote hymns also for children to use. He wrote hymns in all the parts of the catechism. You can see them listed there. And he wrote other hymns for children. You think especially of From Heaven Above and Lord Keep Us Steadfast. Luther did not write Away in a Manger. But you will often see that in books, Away in a Manger, Luther's cradle hymn. It was written in the 1800s in the United States, most likely, in English. But From Heaven Above, to teach the children the truths of the gospel also, and for us, we'll sing hymn 123, verses 1 and 2, and then 13 and 15. And it's that song of the angels, Glory to God in the Highest. Good hymns use scriptural language. Hymn 227 is a little sermon telling us about salvation and also about the interaction of faith and good works. It's a very interesting hymn if you read all of it. When I was growing up, we would sing this hymn and the last stanza would end, and it seemed like it was starting the Lord's Prayer, and then it stopped. And I learned later that in our hymn book when I was growing up, we didn't have all the stanzas. And in our hymn book now, we have 14 stanzas, all the stanzas of this original hymn, and it is the Lord's Prayer. So if you look at stanza 13, it ends with the beginning of the Lord's Prayer and finishes in verse 14. And we'll use that today as our closing prayer. Please stand.